Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and joining me as co-host today is the always wonderful Roxanne Lawler. Welcome back to the Big Three.
You were here last week.
You've just been here.
I am
constantly
living in the pod room. That's where I'm living.
We'll never let you live.
No, fair enough.
How are you, my friend?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good, yeah.
Living your best life.
Living the dream.
What can we tell you? The best
pretend co-senior pastor role. Yep. We're rocking it, though, I got to tell you.
Sure.
Like, it's going great.
Sure.
Really. Just back us up there, audience at
Everyone,
home. Put a comment in, go... need the affirmation, Matt.
Well, listen, I was thinking about it. We're 3 weeks in, so we're a quarter of the way.
Oh, fantastic. And how hard can it
Mark
be, really?
Who, I say.
Hopefully he's not listening to this.
Please come back to us. Yes.
If you're new to the Big Three podcast, we are speaking about Mark Rader, who is our senior pastor, who's on long service leave.
And
Matt and I, the associate pastors here at Guymere Baptist Church, and we're subbing in.
We're holding
down the fort. And holding the fort.
Yep. Steering the ship.
Yep, as it were.
I want one more analogy, but
I can't think of it. One more. Driving the bus.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And so if we ever get pitchy or just sound like we...
Just excuse us.
Having a little moment. It's probably because we are, but we're doing it together, which is lovely.
It is lovely.
Well, for those of you who missed it, Belinda Lakeland, our evangelism coordinator, preached this weekend during our Sunday services, continuing in our series, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like, where we are focusing on the parables of Jesus found in the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in chapter 13, and what they reveal of God's kingdom. Belinda spoke of the parable of the mustard seed and challenged us about being a part of a mustard seed mission. You can listen to that message again through our regular GBC sermon podcast. And so today in the Big Three, we're going to keep the conversation going from Sunday's message. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Belinda, and Rox and I will be putting the Big Three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. But for now, Rox, I'm keen to hear your kind of... Your standouts from Belinda's message on Sunday.
Matt, how do you pick just one?
It's so true.
Oh my gosh, it was a cracker.
It was a banger. She had the church just, she had them laughing. Well, she had me crying in a moment. I'm happy to and secure enough to announce to everyone.
That you cried.
I definitely cried in this message. It was beautiful. It just hit the heart.
Hit the spot, man. Yeah.
What stood out for you?
Oh, look, I think one of the things I'm really enjoying about this series and this sermon in particular is the fact that we're hearing so much more about horticulture, really.
I'm loving that agricultural vibe
that we've got going on. But actually, no, it really does make sense. You know, like Belinda showed us pictures of trees, you know, and everyone's like, ooh, faith like a mustard seed grows into a tree. Like, newsflash, it's not a tree.
Yep.
It's, as we found out, it's a herb.
Yes.
The King James had it right.
Crazy.
I know. And it's invasive. It takes over the garden.
Yep.
And I love that organic nature to it. And just, you know, putting yourself back in that first century mindset. And these guys would have been like, yeah, I know that mustard plant. You just plant it there and boom.
It goes.
It takes over and, you know, it's huge and it's the biggest of all. Like, what a game changer in terms of the way you read this message, right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that. It was something so attractive about that, the fact that there's an organic nature to God's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, we just do our little part and boom, God does the rest. He brings the growth.
Yep.
You know, faith is a gift of God.
Mm.
And all we have to do is do that little bit, and man, he just takes it and runs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
And it's like it's organic, but it's also there was such a simplicity to it. Like in that, and I think the challenge for me was that too often we overcomplicate and put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. We have these preconceived notions of what it means to be kingdom builders, and Belinda just took it right back and peeled it right back and was like, no, we're like Jesus was a mustard seed missionary.
Yeah.
And like he did the small moments, those simple, like just incidental interactions in your day to day. And I think that was the powerful thing for me. Like I was just like, oh, like it's just in the everyday, in the small moments, in those little interactions that we can see kingdom growth.
And so often you think nothing of it, right?
Mm,
you you forget to do it, or you think, oh, this isn't going to make an impact. You know, I'm not going to say this thing to that person. It's not going to really change anything. But then you do it and you don't know how much that means to that person or how much God's going to use that little act of kindness, that little act of service that you've done. It means, you know. So, yeah, I really like that.
Outrageously empowering about it. Yeah, like I said, I loved it. I got all checked up. She told a story about a young person and a conversation of faith. And I was like, no, you've ruined me. I'm done. I'm out. I love seeing young people come to Jesus. Oh, Belinda, you pulled on my heartstrings. Yeah,
you were in the corner rocking at that point.
I was. It was wonderful. So, would strongly encourage people to listen to that podcast. But I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Rox, what are our big three for today?
Ooh, there's some crackers. There's a funny one, actually, I think, in this one, Matt. It's the first one is, Jesus says the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but it isn't. Oh. And so, is he wrong? So, literally, the question, is Jesus wrong?
Is Jesus wrong?
I think there's a short answer.
Yes, but we're not going to give the short answer.
No,
we're
that's Belinda.
We're going to unpack that. So, no, I think, you know, there are plenty of people who I think that's a... That might be something that's like, no, that's just going to eat away at me until someone
just comes
it.
Up and goes, which is what we're all about in the big three.
Real
no
talk.
Question too big, no question too small.
Beautiful. Love it. What's our second?
Second one is, why is there a sense of high expectations when it comes to living as a Christian?
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
I feel it. Too often.
The bar is high, is it? And the third one is, if we are mustard seed missionaries, does that mean we shouldn't do big things for God? You know? Oof. Ooh.
All right.
Where's that?
I'm here.
You ready?
I'm here for it. Oof. I'm ready.
Okay.
And there's only one thing missing, and that is Belinda Lakeland herself. Welcome to the big three, my dear friend.
Oh, hello, Matt. Hello, Rox.
Are you excited to be back again?
Yes. There's only one answer. That's correct.
I know. I had to think because I just heard those questions and I thought, oh, they're big. But yes, I'm happy to be here taking them on.
As we
big three. It's not the big, small three.
It's true. Yeah. Well, again, cracker message yesterday, my friend.
Thank you.
It was a sheer delight to watch twice. I say.
Yes. Good.
But yeah, it's great to have you. But let's let's get straight into it. Let's dive into the big three.
Okay, Belinda, so the first question, as Jesus talks about the mustard seed being the smallest of all seeds, but it isn't, hello. So the question is Jesus wrong? Like,
And
I don't know where you can go with this, but let's see.
Please explain.
Well, I'd love to hear the short answer, actually, because I think the answer could be yes or no.
Ooh.
Yeah, just quietly. So... when Jesus says that the mustard seed is the smallest, it isn't. That is correct. So the smallest seed, either of you know what the smallest seed
no,
is?
No, I was hoping that you had this
I
answer.
Don't know. I was hoping it was like a sequoia or something like that because
oh my gosh,
they're
the
biggest.
I know.
No, it's just the biggest tree. So,
that would be amazing.
So I would be like, oh, please let it be the sequoia. But
I think it's the orchid flower.
Ooh.
Oh, boom.
Yeah. So that's like 0.05 of a millimeter or something. Maybe someone better fact check that, Matt.
She might have done a little bit of research.
I think we're moving into a different lane of this podcast is going to go.
It's now about horticulture and gardening.
But there are other smaller seeds as well, so it's not even the second smallest seed.
Yeah.
But you know what? The mustard seed, it doesn't grow into the largest herb either. Do you know what the largest herb plant is?
No. Oh, I know. Choose me. Is it the banana?
It's the banana.
Yes, it is. Bananas are a herb. I know.
Bananas are a herb.
What? Your whole life just upended right in a moment.
It did. I don't even know who I am anymore.
And I could keep going. So,
I'm having an existential crisis over here.
Does the mustard seed become a tree?
No, it doesn't.
That's right.
I know that. Are you listening?
Oh, you did twice. So.
Sorry, you did that.
And then do birds set up nests in mustard bushes?
Oh, I think.
I dare say not.
No, they don't. No. They don't really have branches.
Yeah, you'd have to kind of. Very strange bird.
There
Jesus says a whole bunch of things, and I'm like, why just pick on that one? Like, we get the whole parable is full of hyperbole, which I think is the thing. And so some people have pointed to this parable as a way of saying, hey, Jesus was wrong, and then the implications of that might refer to, well, maybe Jesus couldn't be perfect, or maybe the Bible can't be trusted. Like, it opens kind of big questions.
It's Pandora's box.
Yeah, which I'm not going to address. But I think it's worth pointing out, like, we should know that it is not the smallest seed. And so then that leaves us the question, well, why did Jesus say that? Yeah. How do we deal with it? Which I think is the point of the question. And there's been different ways of dealing with it. So some people have tried to sort of, I think, make an apologetic for Jesus. So the NIV version at one point added the word, even though it's the smallest of your seeds, that's not in the translation, but they were trying to sort of make a point, well, for the people listening to Jesus, that was their smallest seed.
Yes.
But they were criticized for that. So it's taken out. So it's no longer in there. So you could see this almost sense of embarrassment about Jesus saying it's the smallest when it's not. Then other people sort of say, well, he says it's the smallest seed that's planted. So saying, well, okay, people didn't plant orchid farms, I guess. But you know, they may have planted a mustard seed. So maybe there's that way of talking about, well, in real life, that's kind of what he meant. Mm-hmm.
Are we overthinking it?
Yeah, I'm not too worried. Yeah, I just think I think that's the answer. Yeah, I just think it literally, like, it's really clear in chapter 13, Jesus is talking in parables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we know that parables are stories designed to drag in our imagination. Yeah. They're supposed to have a shock, a twist, something that grabs your attention. Mm. And so I think by actually saying things that aren't necessarily scientifically precise, people then have to think, well, what did that mean? Why did he say that? Yeah. You know, how does a mustard bush grow into a tree, and why would there be birds? So it's those hooks that actually take in your imagination. So I think we can live with that. I'm happy with saying none of it's scientific. Is Jesus wrong? Well, I just don't think he was trying to be right about the mustard seed. Yeah. I think his point was, my kingdom is going to start in little things, and it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. And I think he's right in that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it also speaks to, and you kind of, you made a comment in your message about this, like about, yes, so mustard seed grows into a bush, not a tree. But I think you even said, but it will, like, the kingdom of heaven, which is like a mustard seed, will grow into even just more than just a mustard bush. Like, it will actually grow beyond what you would even consider is normal for that particular, you know, breed of plant. I don't know. Is that the thing? I don't know. I did not join ministry because of scientific
or math
credentials or math. Why did I? I don't know. Anyway, what do I bring to the table? That's not what this big three is about. But I think it speaks to, you know, again, and I think this question kind of it demonstrates something where we grapple with, we put these very human ideas and human understandings and human perceptions on something that is actually divine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God, who created the universe with a word and a breath, can, you know what, if he wants to make a mustard seed turn into a tree, like, if I had to put money on who could achieve said goal, it'd be God.
Yep.
So, like, again, like, I think we need the expectation is, and like you said, it starts in the small things and it will explode into something that exceeds our expectation.
Mm.
And that it is only because the seed that is planted is the kingdom of heaven that it's able to do that.
Mm.
Any other seed, you'll get what you sow. Like,
that is an excellent point. I wish I'd made that in my sermon, Willis.
All my days. I think sometimes we get so hung up on the details, and it's human nature. Like, don't I do it? I'm not saying like I never do that, because I do. And I think we need to get more comfortable. And I think this has been something that's come out in the parables and this series of the Kingdom of Heaven is that there's ambiguity, there's nuance, there's mystery, and we need to get comfortable about this and just kind of go, well, yeah, it's not the smallest seed and it will never be the largest bush. But that's because we're planting earthly seeds in earthly soil to create earthly bushes. But the seed that God gives us, which is the kingdom of heaven, is divine. And we're not planting it in soil. We're planting it in hearts where the Holy Spirit dwells. And therefore, when you know, sow the divine in with the Spirit, then I think that's where you get the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and I think when we come to the parables, if the question we're asking them is this scientific? We've missed the entire point. And so, I mean, both of you preached on parables, and so Matt, you started with the farmer who had the sewing practice of literally just chucking seeds.
Like, on the path. On the path. Like,
exactly.
On the rocks.
And if you came to the parable and said, I'm here for farming practices, I would think you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. And you would not trust, you would not want to trust God because that shows poor stewardship.
Wasteful,
Like, oh, you are being, so haphazard with this.
Doesn't Jesus know better?
But again, I think you're right. If you, if you're coming for, particularly the parables, like, for scientific fact, you've probably...
The wrong genre.
You are in the wrong genre. Absolutely.
Attend a conference.
A farming conference. Also, too, I think this is us as Westerners, right? We like to know the answer. We want to, you know, get the answer, put in the book, put a full stop at the end of it. Whereas I think we've got to realize Jesus is a Jewish rabbi, an itinerant Jewish rabbi, and this is their form of teaching. You know, it's it's conversations, it's questions, it's inviting people into the discussion because that's where the learning happens. And it's not just the word from on high, here it is, you know, the Lord has spoken, full stop. He's actually inviting people into this conversation to wrestle with it like we are in this forum because that's where you're going to learn. And so the aha moment or the surprise in the parable, that's the hook that you were speaking at before. That's where people can go, but what about? And then they're engaged in it and starting to really understand it on a whole different level.
Love it. Right on.
So good.
Done. Tick that box. So, let's move on to question two. So, Belinda, you spoke about pressure. And just expectations that we put on ourselves, we get them from all directions. And faith is not exempt from that, I guess. Our experience of being Christian and seeking to live a life as a Christian can be riddled with pressure. So why is there, do you think, a sense of high expectation when it comes to living as a Christian?
Well, that's a really good question because I think that's actually one thing that is people identify with. Like there is pressure and so where does it come from? I think part of the reason there's pressure is or high expectations is because we want it. You know, you just imagine if every spiritual experience was a mountaintop experience. Imagine if every Bible study was the best Bible study and every prayer session did move heaven and earth and every sermon was a cracking sermon. You know, just imagine that. Wouldn't that just be a high? And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'd
be
guess...
exhausted.
Yes, I was going to say, I'd be exhausted.
You guys would be exhausted? Oh.
Well, but also, like, refreshed as well.
Well, and I think because we have had tasted those moments that and they're good, you know, and so imagine if we could do that repeatedly. So I think there's a sense of we would want that in our lives because it's amazing and we know that kingdom living can be amazing. So I think partially the expectations just come from knowing what it can be. But I think we're also our own worst enemies. I think that the expectations actually mostly come from ourselves. And I think the dark side of wanting things to go really well is that we kind of place our value in that. And so when we do lead a cracker Bible study and you think, wow, like people learned and grew and you sort of feel a little bit of pride, which makes you feel like, well, aren't I really contributing to the kingdom? Isn't this really important? And then we want to keep repeating that. And it's in those moments in life where perhaps, say you have a young child or an illness or a change of work, which means you can't do the things that you used to do, that's when you find out, oh, my value is coming from the things that I used to do because I can't do them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when I think when we come face to face with, why do those things make me feel so good? And then it's only then we start wrestling with the sense of where does my value come from? Where does my worth come from? That we have to remind ourselves of grace and that we're just loved no matter what. And I wrestle with this. If I could be real for a minute. Is this the place for that?
I'm hanging on every word.
I wrestle with this all of the time. And even it's funny writing a sermon on, pressure and wanting to do big things. Cause I'm like, well, I'm about to deliver a sermon. I want to do well. And on my drive here, I was praying and asking for God's help, but I had this sense of, have I been a good enough Christian this week to ask for God's help? Like, is God going to help me this week? And I just knew right there that sense of, I feel like I need to earn something in order for God to bless me and help me. And that's the downside to, I guess, high expectations, is you feel like you've got to work in order for God to love you. And I'm aware of that. And so the last thing I do before I get out of the car is I sit my head on the steering wheel and I just remind myself, I'm like, I am loved. Like, no matter what happens today, no matter what comes out of my mouth, like, I'm loved. And that's what I'm trying to take into what I do. But that's a constant battle for me. Wanting to do well, but not putting my value in that. But I realize I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to high expectations.
Yeah. And I think the hard thing in that space is that then there's just this internal dialogue going on, isn't there? Because, you know, I can resonate with that completely as well. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure many can. Yeah. And there are the things that we know of God and yet then the expectations that we place on ourselves. And I think, you know, I think we've come out of COVID and a lot of people are like, well, you know, what is church now? I'm kind of digressing, but I'll bring it back. You'll understand
we where
I'm
going. You.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, what is church now? And more that need for community. We just had 2 years where faith and our faith journey was very isolated. It was very like, if I wasn't going to invest in it, then like I had no other way that people were going to invest in. And I think a lot of people struggled with that. I struggled with that. I process externally. I'm a raging extrovert. Like I need people around to throw ideas around and push my buttons and challenge me on things and all that kind of stuff. And I think this kind of space, this desire to please, and it's that classic, like, there is nothing wrong with wanting to please God, but it can become, and Rox, you spoke about this last week, like, what are the things that become toxic?
Yeah.
And sometimes that desire to please and the motivation for that can become toxic. Not pleasing God, that's not a bad thing, but the motivation, the heart and the pressure and the expectation that we place on ourselves to achieve that can become really toxic. And I think it's in that internal dialogue where we kind of go, well, I know that this is of God, but I also know this is how I feel and there's a conflict in that. That's where church community becomes so imperative. And sometimes church hasn't been great at alleviating some of that pressure. Sometimes church doesn't kind of speak to a mustard seed mission, but kind of has high expectations. And I think as leaders in church, we need to acknowledge that. And as a church community, we need to acknowledge that. But as individuals, we need to look around our church community and go, who can help me lift some of these expectations? Who can help me kind of go, I am loved. It doesn't matter what happens today. Like, I'm going to do the best I can for God. I'm going to do what I can to please God, but I'm loved regardless of what happens, regardless of whether or not I see the fruit of this seed that I'm going to sow, regardless if I even acknowledge the fact that I did something for God today. And I think inviting people into that space is super important because they're the voices that that help draw out what God is already saying to us, but that, you know, that crippling self-doubt can sometimes deafen us towards. And sometimes you just need that external voice to kind of go, hey, hold up. Like, Jesus I know would affirm the effort. The Jesus that I know has placed you in this position because he knows what you're going to produce and he sees it as worthy. And no matter how much criticism you're going to throw at yourself after this, that, or the other, the Jesus that I know is pleased and proud of his brother or sister. And sometimes you just need that voice. I think that's one of the powerful spaces that church community can provide for us to help lift that pressure that we put on ourselves constantly. And it is. We're constantly doing it because we live in a society that is just, you know, riddled with high achievers as well. Like, you know, what we do is where our worth lies and what we achieve is directly correlated with our sense of self. And And yeah, I think we just need a, like, it's hard to be countercultural in that space.
You can be careful too, I think, speaking about your serving in your ministry, that doesn't become an idol. I think that's – we don't hear about idolatry a lot in the church because we think about it as little, you know, statues or whatever. But, you know, even our ministry or our you know, our act of service to God can become an idol that actually gets in the way and eclipses God. And so it's always good to kind of have a bit of that internal moment, that internal dialogue to actually, what is it that I am worshipping? You know, like, do I believe that God is on the throne? Do I believe that he is all powerful? Do I believe this is his church? This is his kingdom? Or do I think it all depends on me? And then is my ministry therefore an idol that I'm just elevating above the power of God? So there's that conversation needs to be had as well.
And I think you're right. It's a conversation that needs to be had. Because if we just are all sitting in our own little dark corner, feeling the pressure and the high expectations, man, that's crippling, that's crushing, and it's going to be really hard to stand up under that weight.
And you'll feel so isolated and alone too, as though you were the only one going through this. And that's just, you know, not true at all. And to be able to have the few that we've spoken about.
You and a few.
You know, to journey with you, the trusted people to do the deep work and to give you the affirmation that you do need. And I think we do need affirmation and that's healthy. But to balance that with just some reality of actually, you know what, it doesn't all depend on me. You do your little bit and the Lord does the rest. You know, you sow the mustard seed, the Lord is the one who's going to turn that into the giant herb, you know, the invasive herb, which weird birds will come in.
A hot mess of a bush. A technical term.
Exactly. 100%. There
good.
It is.
It's good.
Wow. Love it. Good stuff.
Yeah, right on. Well, let's get on to question three.
So with the message that you gave, Belinda, I really like the idea that you had that we are mustard seed missionaries, you know, that we have our mustard seed in our hand, and the man you pointed out in the parable actually goes and plants it. It's a deliberate action to plant, and you say it doesn't need much, it just needs a bit of dirt, right? So I love that we're doing small little things for the Lord, unreal. But therefore, does that mean we shouldn't do big things for God? Dun, dun,
dun. I mean, I was aware of that tension as I was preparing the sermon. I thought, oh, I don't want anyone to hear this and walk away thinking, oh, I can be an underachiever. You know? All I need to do is just smile at a couple of people. Right, two people I'm going to smile at and I am done with my mission work. Yep. And even aware, I mean, Jesus did big things, you know, and so I'm talking about how he notices the one. But, you know, he fed 5,000 and calmed a storm and rose from the dead. You know,
so, the whole demon-possessed thing that was going on.
Yeah, and so, but I was trying, I thought, well, we're going to spend lots of weeks talking about the kingdom. And it's like a jewel with many different facets. Thank you. You could see I was struggling.
I know. I just jumped in because I was like, that's not a horticultural word that I actually know.
And so I thought, well, let's just focus on this particular aspect of the kingdom, which is that it starts in the small things. The kingdom of heaven is present in those small things. So I wanted to emphasize that, but I wouldn't want anyone to walk away thinking, well, big things don't matter, because, I mean, if God has put a big thing on your heart, go for it. And you might be aware of some sort of sayings, things like expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, which highlights God does really big things. And so we should be free to dream and vision things that are big. And I think here at Gaimi Baptist Church, I'm new, but part of your stories are big things. You've got the Christian Surfers came out of here. Was Jesus Racing? You've got your Hope Field organization. Are there other things like Olive Tree Media? You could probably
just to name a few.
and so you know, you're a church that has done big things, and so of course we want to, but my reflection is rarely do big things start big. They still start small. I remember I had the opportunity one time to meet the woman who created Mainly Music, which is a program for young families, children with parents with young children, and it is now an international organization. But it didn't start like that. It started with her in New Zealand running a playgroup, and it grew to be something big. And I'm not sure about the stories behind any of the ministries we've just mentioned, like Christian Surfers. Like, it's now an international organization, but it probably didn't start that way.
It did not,
way.
Definitely. Yep.
Absolutely. It was just a group of grommets who liked surfing and wanted to call it church.
And there we go.
And here we are.
Yeah. And so I think if you have a big vision and – oh, Matt Willis, you said this, but I think you're quoting Mark Rader. But anyway, who was actually quoting some other person, Roxy pointed out. But the idea of projects are too big to kind of get your head around them. Yeah. So you want to just break them down into small steps.
Yeah.
And so I think, we should and can do big things, but honestly, they just start in the small things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also, again, like, I think that feeds into expectations. It kind of goes back to question two, where we too often see the only form of successful ministry as those big moments. Yeah. So it's only something that can be praised until, you know, we've seen a mass revival kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, again, like we want those things.
Yeah.
Like those are powerful moments. Like, just sign me up. I'm there. But again, if that's all we're striving for, if that's all we have eyes open to, then we're going to become, and you spoke about this, and this is the risk that we just become people who hold on to that seed.
Yeah.
And we're just, oh no, this isn't the soil yet. Mm-hmm. Nah, this isn't big enough. I need something bigger before I plant my little mustard seed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. Nah, like, I think the thing that I loved most about the analogy of the mustard bush was it grows in the Middle East, finds some dirt, it doesn't even really need water. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like, you could drop it and things would happen. Yeah. Like, it could be a mistake.
Yeah, well, that's how it spreads. Yeah.
Right? So, and I just think if all we focus on, and I've had so many conversations, and again, this is bigger than just about how we're partnering with the construction of the Kingdom of Heaven. This just goes in all aspects of faith. But I've had plenty of conversations with people who are like, you know, they've had that mountaintop moment with God, and they do. You crave it. Because, of course, like, once you experience something so powerful, you want more of it. Mm. But it almost blindsides you to the little subtle moments of God. Mm. And that's a hindrance. Like, there are some really powerful moments that are really small and subtle and simple and silent. And I want another S word, but I can't think of it.
Subdued.
Oh, Rox, I knew you'd be there with me on the alliteration. Oh, there you go. Yeah, short. Yep. It all works.
It all works.
So I just think, yes, you're absolutely right. Big things happen and we should be ready for the big things. Mm, yeah. But if we're not doing the small things, then chances are we will never be ready for the big. And even worse, we probably won't even notice it because the small moments that lead to the big we've ignored either intentionally or not. And so the significance of the small is just becoming more and more evident for me. And that we should be excited for that. We should be excited for the small and not put all our eggs in the big, profound moments.
One of the things I've tried to do with the Plan A training, so when I run a group, in the very first session, I say, what we're doing here is we're celebrating small things. Because particularly with evangelism, the stories you ever get shared, or someone came to faith, or baptized, or miraculously healed, you know, they're so big. And that is actually a barrier to people who are just thinking, well, that's something I could never do. And then they're underestimating the value of having a cup of tea with a neighbor. And so I try and just create that storytelling culture of next week when you come, come with a small story and we are going to celebrate with you. And it is absolutely my favorite part of the training, because each week I'm hearing a bunch of stories from people who've just done something small. And I think this is where the kingdom is working. It's unreal.
Like, if we all have a seed and we're all planting that one seed, then collectively, what is that going to, like, that's going to create a big thing. But the only way that that can be stopped is if we all have a collective mentality that our one seed doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
It's like a tsunami, you know. A tsunami is just made up of individual drops of water. That's all it is, you know. Like, it's rocks. So powerful, you know. But it is. Like, a tsunami is that. That's all it is. It's just an individual drop of water just coming together and being powerful. Destructive in a tsunami, but for the kingdom, so powerful. Yeah. It's massive. Absolutely fantastic. The other thing I was thinking about too, as you were talking about starting with the small, there's another story that Jesus tells about giving people talents, like small items. Mm. And those who take the small and multiply it are then given more as well. So often we can come in with a perspective to be like, yeah, I want to do great things for God, which is a good thing to do.
Admirable.
Very great. However, you know what? The Lord has sometimes given you what is in your hand? You know, what has God given you now? Let's be faithful with the little that God has given us, and then God will increase that so we can show that we are faithful with the much. You know, we've got to work through the process and, you know, that Jesus will entrust big things to us when we have been faithful with the little things.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's so important to start with the small, to start with those little moments. And then, you know, if God willing, you know, if it's in God's plan for your life, He will give more.
Yeah.
And then you can do more for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Boom, there you go. Yeah. Thanks so much, Belinda. And I want to know, how hard was it to preach this sermon without singing the super song from Little Things, Big Things Grow?
It was incredibly easy because I'm a terrible singer. Oh. Didn't enter my mind one time.
Really?
Would you like us to sing it for you now?
Well, you are welcome to sing it, but I will not be joining in.
Yeah, I'm not going to sing. Can confirm. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you so much for the word you brought and for joining us on the Big Three.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Delightful.
Oh, rocks.
That was snap.
Man, that, do you know what? Like, it started small and then it went big.
Went big. What sort of plant would you say
almost
that would be
like a mustard seed?
Really?
Not to be confused with orchid?
The orchid.
No one wants to talk about the orchid. No,
what about the banana?
Well, hello. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
But not what I wanted to ask. What I wanted to ask was, like, what out of that is your take home? Like, what out of that conversation are you like, oh, man, that's, I'm going to chew on that for a hot minute?
I think it's the expectation piece for me, Matt. Like, the fact that we have external expectations placed upon us, but also those internal ones, that what are we expecting of ourselves, and what's the role in giving that over to God and just leaning into Him and going, okay, God, you know, regardless of my performance, if I can use the word performance, you know, my identity is in you. Like, you know, I start from a space of grace, you know, like that's the starting point. Yeah. Your starting point is grace. You know, you're not trying to earn it. It's not works-based. You're not trying to, you know, make yourself all polished and shiny for the Lord to forgive you. No, it's you're a child of God. You know, God loves you regardless. That's the place of safety, and then that's where all our ministry, all our love, all our outpouring comes from.
Yeah.
So just to get that picture right in our heads and adjust our internal scale, I suppose. So my expectation is, you know what, God's in this. He's invited me to do it. I'm going to be faithful in what He's given me, and He's going to love me through it regardless of how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah,
that's no, me. I love that. I think for me, like, I really connected with what Belinda was saying about her experience and that feeling of expectation. And I think it will resonate with a lot of people. I think, you know, like I said, the church is not exempt from that. But I think we need to be proactive in, well, how are we creating a community and a culture where, we do affirm the little things.
Yeah.
And we do kind of go, hey, let's take some of that pressure off and those high expectations off. And Jesus did everything. It's done.
It's done.
Why are you, not why are you working so hard, but why are you questioning what you can bring when Christ has already brought everything?
And there's such freedom in that, right?
And grace in that. Mm. And, you know, and I actually think that when we're a community who speaks of that more and affirms that more, that's actually where people become, those little moments of courage to plant the seed there of what they've got. Because they're like, actually, that is a value. And it is a value. Mm. That small little seed, whatever it is, that small opportunity, that cuppa at the kitchen bench, that walk through the neighborhood, that text message that you're going to send because someone just keeps
is
popping
on
into
your
mind.
Oh my gosh.
Like that can be a powerful thing. Yeah. And once we actually acknowledge that and stop expecting the burning bush to happen,
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll see more people plant the seeds. Yeah. And like Belinda said, when we all plant the seed,
There you go.
There you go.
It's going to take over the whole garden.
Oh, watch out.
It's going to be like
I hope you like Dijon.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for joining me, my friend.
Yay.
And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services this coming Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code or follow the link before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.